Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
The National Parks Conservation Association was established back in 1919, just 3 years after the formation of the National Park Service. Come along and join Megan Cantrell, social media manager at NPCA's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Cantrell talks about NPCA's primary mission and the various ways the organization utilizes social media to get the word out about critical environmental issues affecting our national parks. I'm Tom Wilmer. We're in Washington, D.C. with Megan Cantrell. We're at the mothership.
Yes, we are at the headquarters of the National Parks Conservation Association in Washington, D.C.
What's your mission statement? What's your primary mission as an organization?
We work to protect our national parks for present and future generations.
How do people find out about you?
Hopefully through social media.
And that's where you come in.
And that's where I come in. And among other things, we are your membership organization, so hopefully people have our magazine and that gets passed along.
And I'm one of your members, and it's a good value. It's not that much to be a member to qualify to get the magazine.
Exactly. $25 a year, and you'll get a quarterly subscription. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece that talks about our national parks, the interesting stories, and the work that we're doing.
And what are some of the things that you're involved in now, some of the things that are in the forefront?
Currently, we're working on a campaign around clean air for our national parks. NPCA just released a report that you can find on npca.org/polluted parks. Another campaign right now that we're doing is what we call Room to Roam. It's a campaign around the importance of protecting the Yellowstone bison. And we've got a great report and infographic that talks about the important issue of protecting them. Originally, there's only 23 or 26 bison left of the original herd. And now we have close to 5,000. And it's critical to keep them thriving. So if you go to npca.org/bison, you can see that wonderful report.
And there must be some other environmental issues that are important. It's some controversial one, the snowmobiles.
Yep, that's definitely one that's been, you know, the balance of recreation and enjoying our national parks, you know, noise pollution, air pollution, view shed issues. Those all definitely plague our parks near and far. Mm-hmm. You know, development and hunting, and there's a wide range of issues that we work on in all parks.
A lot of people don't realize there's a very distinctive difference between the Forest Service model and the national parks.
Yeah, each of our parks come with their own founding rules and laws, and what it is that they are allowed to do within it, / how the park protects it. The National Park Service, they're the ones who are there to shepherd and protect our parks, and so the rules that they do put in place, it is for the betterment and protection of our parks so that they are there for future generations, and so we look at each issue case by case.
Let's talk about your world. You're here in Washington, D.C., and your job is social media. What works? Where do you put most of your energy?
So we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we look at what it is that we want to broadcast to the important audiences in each of them and how we want to communicate the issues. So for Facebook, telling the story, sharing interesting graphics, sometimes video if we have it, really communicating with the audiences and having a conversation about the issue, that's where we use Facebook.
Is there any one way of posting something that works and gets the most response, or is it still a mystery in process?
You know, sometimes when I think I figured it all out, I post something just randomly and it's the best thing that we've done all month. But traditionally, you know, quotes and statistics are something that work really, really well. Social media in general, getting the point out quickly so that you can digest it is important.
What is the value of Twitter? Where do you put your weight there and the best response?
Twitter is a wonderful tool to get out a lot of the important articles and reports and statistics in one line, you know, 140 character bytes of information, just letting the people see that there's a lot of information out there, a lot of stories to be told. We've found that putting things out constantly is needed to feed the machine of the Twitter universe.
I'm told a lot, and I know it works for me, that generally posting a photo or an image will get you more response than just a quote.
Yes, correct. You know, we found that multimedia, specifically images, have a higher engagement rate than most other posts, whether it's just a link or text. And, you know, we were just chatting earlier about how this week I found that we posted just a text tweet, and it actually scored a little bit better than just posting a photo. So, you know, you never really know in these things, but traditionally a photo works quite well.
Yeah, and then you get blindsided by the statistics of when is the best time to post,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Some of the platforms have really great analytical tools, and you can look back and see, oh, Mondays between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. are great for posting for your audience, and then the next week it changes to Wednesday in the evening. So paying attention to those analytics on an overall basis and weekly is important. And it's fun to keep track of, you know, what's happening in our different social networks.
And then I think earlier you were talking about Instagram.
Yes. As mentioned before, we have a robust audience in Facebook and Twitter.
How many zillions do you have?
Oh, no, unfortunately not zillions, but we do have a wonderful 300,000 following on Facebook and 130,000 on Twitter. We just launched NPCA Picks on Instagram and currently have 1,300 followers. It's growing. It's small.
This is brand new.
Brand new for NPCA. And we are trying to find our voice and how we want to show our brand on there. And we tested a little bit in the beginning showing beautiful landscape photos, which are always wonderful, but we then realized that we want to show a little bit more of who we are as an organization and the wonderful things that we can do. So we're showing a little bit more voices from our different staff across the region, their experiences within the park, and hopefully sharing some tidbits that you can then take back and experience yourself on your next park trip.
Broadening the net, how about blogging? Are you a blogger in-house?
I am not a blogger, but I have contributed some articles to our Park Advocate blog that we have had for the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember how long it's been now, but it's been a wonderful resource for us to have. It definitely feeds the machine of social media. It provides much-needed in-depth analysis on and a story elaboration on the issues that we work on, because sometimes when we send out an action alert, you don't get the full story of why this issue is really important for our parks, and our blog allows us to expand on that.
So you would link and refer on your call to action?
Yes, definitely. We would push out on social media, maybe before we send out an action alert, and then once the action alert comes, hopefully our audiences are aware of the issue and the importance behind it.
And in our fast-moving social media world, some people call the website as being the static, frozen thing that isn't really in the moment, and yet people go to your website every day, don't they?
They do. They do. We still have a great following on our website. A lot of it's pushing through our email, our newsletter, social media. I mean, it's an important place to explain the issues that we work on and provides the in-depth value that is needed to understand these things that plague our parks, plague our national treasures.
What's your primary best source of recruiting new members and supporters?
That has to be our membership department. They have this sweet algorithm figured out to really reach the people who love and adore our parks and see the value in investing $25 a year, maybe a little bit more if you can,
right,
to then get our magazine and help us do the work that we do every day to ensure that our parks are there for tomorrow.
Your stats, so how many members you have? What is it right now?
Our current number that we're using is we have more than 1 million members and supporters, and that includes our online activists who are crucial to sharing their voice in protection of our parks. So it includes, I think it's about a little over 350,000 dues-paying members in combination with our online activists and some social media followers that we've been able to really hone in and depend on.
Megan, I'm going to have to come back because it's the end of the day, and I know you want to go home. But it's been an absolute delight and a pleasure to visit with you. I'm so blessed to have met you.
Yes, thank you, Tom. It's been wonderful to meet you, too.
Yeah. And for further information for the listener, if they want to learn more and maybe become a supporting member.
Yes, please visit npca.org. Hopefully you will find everything you need and more. And you can always call us at 1-800-628-7275 and talk to one of our member services representatives to learn more.
Megan Cantrell at the National Parks Conservation Association World Headquarters, Washington, D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,